get in the game.
Here we go!
Well, welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Boy, we got a lot to talk about today on the show. K-State has hired Jerry Kill, former Minnesota head coach. Not as a football coach, though. He's going to be an associate athletic director, the administrator for the football program. Lots of reaction to that on the show. It seems pretty universally positive. At 4:30, we'll hear from Anthony Castrovince of MLB.com. What does a national writer think about the Royals' chances to win the Central after their slow start? In hour two at 5:30, Andy Greeter from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He is Minnesota beat writer. He has covered the Golden Gophers for a while now. What's the reaction around Minnesota with Jerry Kill being hired here at K-State? Mitch has his Jabroni of the Week at 5:50 as well. We're on Twitter at the Game 1350. You can tweet your reaction to K-State hiring Jerry Kill. You can also respond. I guess I'll let you pimp your own Twitter account here if you want to throw out your own poll that you asked. Actually, we can't even really do that because it's in emoji, so I don't know how we talk in emoji.
At Tyler Dreiling, thumbs up or thumbs down? Just that's your vote
on the Jerry Kill. Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, let's get right to it. K-State brings on Jerry Kill as an associate athletic director, basically a football administrator. He is replacing the outgoing Clint Dowdle. We don't know the extent of what he is leaving for, but he is on his way out. John Curry confirmed that in a teleconference earlier today. So Jerry Kill was the head coach at Minnesota from 2011 to 2015. He stepped away in October of 2015 because of basically complications with epilepsy. He's battled that for a while and has had a number of incidents with seizures during games or on game day, going throughout his career as far back as 2005. So health issues really forced him out at Minnesota. He's younger than I would have guessed before looking it up today, to be honest. 54 years old. He is a Kansas guy, was born in Cheney, played at Southwestern College. He had coaching stints at Pitt State and Emporia State, eventually worked his way up to Minnesota, and was a really good coach at Minnesota. They are very fond of him, and again, you'll hear more from that at 5:30, but he took them to their first New Year's Day Bowl since 1962. He won 8 games back-to-back years and was the 2014 Big Ten Coach of the Year. So he's now going to be on staff here and serve as more or less, I think, a liaison between John Curry and the athletic department and Bill Snyder. And for one, from that standpoint, I guess we can start right there. I really like the move. He is replacing a guy in Clint Dowdle who has more of an athletic administrator background. This is a guy who obviously has a football coaching background, which I think is only a good thing for the football program to have him be the go-between for Bill Snyder. We're already seeing a lot of changes with Bill Snyder being on Twitter, the way social media is being used within the football staff and the football team anyway. I think this is another thing that's a positive step in the right direction. And all in all, it should just be a perfect marriage between getting a guy on board who's been a successful football coach in the Division I ranks. Never bad to have somebody like that around, but especially when they're going to help out, be in the go-between, and also it's such a great fit from the standpoint of Kansas guy, won at a place that I would consider fairly similar in Minnesota, and is very, very well respected around the state and the area.
I will honestly say that this is one of my favorite things that this K-State administration has ever done, and that includes hiring Bill Snyder for a second time. That includes all they've been able to do with the budget and raising money. That includes the enhancements to the facilities, whether it be the football stadium or the basketball practice facility. This is just a home run, and I'm so happy that he's here. He's, in addition to all the connections that you talked about, being from Kansas originally, being familiar with this area, and being a football mind for a football job, which I think is all great. He's just a tremendously hard worker. He's always been one of those blue-collar guys that you're going to have to kick him out of his office, or he's just going to keep working around the clock. He was beloved at Minnesota. A lot of people were really sad when he had to step away. You know, it kind of came as a shock, and the fan base was kind of shook up about that. But he's a tremendously nice guy. He does a whole bunch in the community. Everything that I've ever read about him or learned about him has been positive, and I think that he's a great fit for the city of Manhattan and K-State. And even if this doesn't have a tremendous on-field you know, impact for K-State. I don't know what kind of impact it would have on the field, but even if it doesn't, I think that you are handing some pretty important responsibilities to a guy that's going to absolutely hit it out of the park.
And the responsibilities that he wanted, and that's part of why I think I use the phrase perfect marriage here between the two, because K-State gets a good football mind around, I think somebody that Bill Snyder will like to have around, and at the same time, he gets what he wanted, which he could not get at Minnesota, and that is a job still working closely with the athletes and the student athletes, which is what he said that he wanted. At Minnesota, they had more or less a divorce in February this year when he tried to work out with their athletic department a position. Since he had stepped down due to health reasons, there was a clause in his contract that he could get a job going for $200,000 a year with the school. What the school wanted him to do was fundraise, which you can see why being a beloved figure there, that's kind of proof that he was a beloved figure at Minnesota. They wanted him to go out and fundraise, and they were trying to have him do that for a new athletic village. Whereas he wanted to work more hands-on with the student-athletes, still be as involved as he could with football, because he can't be a coach anymore because of those health problems. He's able to find that role here at K-State. And I do believe this was not at all the only option that he had. I think he had a lot of options, and the fit that we continue to talk about here is a lot of why he wound up at K-State. But there you have a guy who has a reason to be here. K-State has plenty of use for him, and he will help to be around. And at the same time, he was a guy that was wanted by a lot of other places. So I think all the way around, this makes a lot of sense.
You know, I think that it's kind of putting a perfect cog into the machine that is K-State football, being that, you know, over the course of the last several years, there have been some indications that maybe Bill Snyder and John Curry have not always been on the same page with what they do. There have been the rumors out there that they actually rarely talk to each other and that kind of thing. And I don't know how much truth there is in that, but the point of the fact of the matter is Jerry Kill is going to kind of mesh the gap between the two, and he's going to be doing it from a football point of view, which I think is important. I think that Bill Snyder really appreciates working with someone that has that football background, which Jerry Kill does. And in addition to that, he's a great people person. I mean, he's just a guy that loves to converse with people and will talk to you all day long. So I think this is a perfect fit.
And before all the conspiracy theories get going about him being a head coach in waiting type of guy, being the next head coach here, this is what Jerry Kill had to say on a teleconference earlier today about all that. He tried as hard as he could to put to rest any rumors of him being a coach.
I cannot ever be a head coach. And okay. Just the way my life is going to be. And I'm very understanding that my next journey is this journey, and, you know, my way of being a part of student-athletes and being part of a football program is just this.
And I apologize there for the dog barking in the background from the teleconference. Here's another clip of him reiterating the fact that coaching is not in the cards for him because of the health issues.
I know my coaching career is over, and I understand that. But I just can't sit around and look at a lake and roll my fingers, or that would be the worst health I could ever have. And, K-State administration, and certainly John understands. And, I'm looking forward to working there, and I'll be just fine.
You know, I remember his retirement press conference, and it was tough to watch how emotional he was about stepping away. And you can really tell for a guy, you know, at 54 years old, that he still cares that much about the student athletes that were in his program. It's hard to watch that and not have a ton of faith that he's going to come in and do a great job for K-State in the role that he's being asked to do. And in addition to that, just with his health problems, the things that he has done, especially since retirement, for the epileptic community is a really powerful thing. I read a story on CNN earlier today that I actually hadn't seen before about a young boy, 8 or 9 year old boy, that made a connection with Jerry Kill almost in a make-a-wish kind of situation, and now they have a great relationship. And his dad says that, you know, Jerry Kill saved his son's life by establishing that friendship there. So there are so many good things that he's done throughout his career, and I think that coming to Manhattan is just going to be a tremendous thing for the football program and the university and the city.
Well, and I do believe him that he's done with coaching because of what you're alluding to there with the health problems. So epilepsy, he was diagnosed at one point with kidney cancer, but it's now in remission. But he had a First had a seizure in a game in 2005 when he was at Southern Illinois. He had one in 2010, two in 2011, one in 2012, one in 2013. He took a leave of absence after that one in 2013, but then came back for 2014, then got through seven games of 2015 before he had another couple seizures and then resigned on October 28th. So there's a long history there with that going on, and he says right now that his health is doing much better. And I think because of that, he's going to want to keep it that way, obviously, and stay out of coaching.
Best I've felt 12 years. And I'm actually sleeping good, and I've dropped about 14, 15 pounds. And I'm on a special diet for seizure patients. And, I'm doing great. And believe me, I know when I wasn't doing great and when I have.
So he killed most of the speculation there from most people. I'm sure there are some out there that will still hang on to that thought and hang on to that idea. And I would say, you know, to play devil's advocate, having your foot in the door, being in there, you know, we'll see what happens.
Stranger things have happened.
Yes, we'll see what happens as time moves on, year two down the road. Who knows what exactly is going to be going on. Since he will be here, obviously, that would make it more likely. But at least for right now, that's definitely not in the plans there. But all in all, seems like a pretty positive move. Most of the reaction regionally, nationally, I mean, most, if not all, of the reaction really has been positive about this. Now, we can debate, I think, how much of a positive impact it will actually have. I know some of the things, and I don't want to call you out too much, but a little bit of it sounded somewhat hyperbolic about just what exactly it will do. I'm not really sure. I think we need to take some time and sort through this and see kind of what happens and what goes on to see what sort of an impact that would actually have in terms of impacting the football program. But I think it's a step in the right direction. It is, I'll equate it back to what I said yesterday with John Curry's comments about, hey, how do we try and make sure if the Big 12 falls apart, we're in a good position? We just do what we can to make sure our football program's as good as it can be. Bringing a former successful head coach at the BCS level at a Big 10 school that is this well-respected around the area and has this kind of a background, just to be involved in any facet with the football program is doing something to try and position your program for right now and for the future to be as good as it can be. So from that standpoint, yes, I do think you applaud this.
Yeah, I certainly don't mean to indicate that that this move means that you can add on a win or two to K-State's record, you know, for the next however long Jerry Kill is going to be here. I don't mean to say that at all. And maybe the on-field impact will be nil. But even if that's the case, one of the things that Bill Snyder has talked about so often over the course of his career is surrounding yourself with good people. And I think that this addition to K-State's football staff and K-State's administration does a good job of adding a good person that's going to help a lot of people, including those student athletes who Jerry Kill says is the reason that he's doing this, because he wants to continue working with those college students.
Well, you can continue tweeting your thoughts to the Game 1350. We'll get to those later on in the show at 5:30. Andy Greeter from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He's covered Minnesota. What's the Minnesota reaction to Jerry Kill taking this job here in Manhattan as a beloved figure leaves Minnesota? But coming up next, Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com national writer, will join us. Does he still consider the Royals an AL Central contender? You'll find out next here on The Game.